Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a bi-weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Clemencia, and we are glad you're here. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
The big idea for this episode is the benefits of a mission board. Yeah, today we're joined with Paul Davis, the president of ABWE. Hey man, this is the part of the episode where we're supposed to advertise my book.
All right.
So what do you think we should say?
I don't feel bad about it. It's not a shameless plug. It's literally your book. You've put a lot of work into it.
That's a good point. So you need to pick up a copy. And hey, here's the thing. If you buy a copy and you didn't like it,
right.
Drew said he'll pay for you to ship it back.
That's not what I said. At least an In-N-Out burger, I'll ship to them.
You'll ship them
if it's on the East Coast, it'll be all spoiled, but it's fine. Hey, I'm in this book too.
You are. You're actually in this book. And I say some things that people don't know about you. It's going to be great. I tell some stories.
All right.
Are you?
Where can people find this book at?
Oh, that's right.
And what it's called.
Okay. So you can pick up this book.
Right.
It's called The Quest for Friendship.
The Quest for Friendship. Insert Galleon's music here.
That really is what it is.
Right. It's happening right now. It's going to be.
The Idea Network publishing arm of our network has produced this awesome resource, and I really do appreciate it. It's exciting. It really is a discussion of friendship, and I want you to pick up a copy at ideanetwork.church in the shop tab. It's the very first resource at the very top. You can pick it up, and if you put in the promo code free shipping is yours.
All right.
Yeah.
There it is.
Go do it now.
The Quest for Friendship. Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks. On today's episode, we have a very special guest with us, Paul Davis, who is the director of ABWE Mission Board. Thanks for being on the podcast with us, Paul.
Hey, it's good to be with you.
We are glad you're here. Paul's actually a personal friend of mine because, for those who don't know, I'm actually on the board of ABWE. We've gotten to know each other over the last couple of years, and we're excited for those who are listening to the podcast to be more introduced with ABWE, amazing International Mission Board. But before we get into that, I'm pretty excited because next week.
May the 4th. Are you just excited because there's a new Star Wars series coming out?
Yeah, why? What are you talking about?
That's all I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay, that's all.
That's it.
May the 4th.
May the 4th.
The Star Wars series. And what is the Star Wars series coming to Disney Plus?
Bad Batch.
Yeah.
So, are you, Paul, are you a Star Wars fan? If you're not,
it's okay. It's okay.
Apparently not enough to know this.
So on Disney Plus coming out. So we're both Star Wars folks,
yeah.
And on Disney Plus, a new show is going to come out called The Bad Batch.
Free advertising for Disney. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Should we
contact them?
Probably.
They need to pay us.
All right. But on a bigger, more personal note, we are going to a weekly cadence of the Idea Talks.
That's
we announced
right.
this a few weeks ago, and next week you will get a brand new weekly cadence of the Idea Talks from here until. This is what happened.
We know that a lot of you are sitting around on Tuesdays and you're like, this is the best Tuesday ever because a new Idea Talks came out. And I know you're having a good day. You're smiling. The sun is shining. Things are fantastic. But then the next week comes and you're like, it's Tuesday.
I gotta wait on a whole nother week.
Did the Idea Talks. And you're like, no, this is the bad Tuesday. And look, we're sick and tired of you guys having bad Tuesdays.
We just want to help your life.
We're going to change that. We're going to change it up every single week. You're going to get a brand new episode of the Idea Talks, and you get to spend a little time with Drew and a little time with Josh, except it's a little different, isn't it? What exactly are these every other week episodes going to be like?
These are going to be archives of prior Idea Summit or Idea Days that we are going to share with our audience. So even if you've come to an Idea Day or Idea Summit in the past, you've only been able to be in the physical session that you're in and that you choose. It's almost like you're kind of gambling a little bit here in Vegas.
Yeah, gambling.
Bad at reference, I know. But on each session, so now we're making every session available to you over time, of course.
Yeah.
So you'll get to hear some of the sessions that you've never been able to be a part of, or if you have never even visited this event in person, now you'll get to hear just a taste of what it's really like at some of these breakout sessions.
Yeah, that is true, man. You go to an Idea Day or a summit or even one of the Idea Nights and you're thinking to yourself, man, I just want to hear them all. Like, I want to hear them all. Why can't I hear them all? And there's no way to, right? You're sitting in a session about assimilation and right next door, there's an amazing one going on about out of the box evangelism concepts. And you're like, why can't I get them both? Well, now you'll be able to come. And then over time, you'll be able to hear many of the sessions, some of the greatest sessions from the past, and definitely the sessions from the future. You're gonna love this. And so it's every other week, you'll have those sessions. And then every other week, it'll be a conversation with Drew and Josh as we interview or talk about contemporary issues of the day.
Now, for perspective's sake, you can pick four sessions to go to at a normal idea day, and there's about 50 to 60 sessions typically going on in a day. So we're really excited about letting you see and a peek behind the scenes a little bit more.
One of the sessions that we had, not this year, but 2 years ago at our Idea Summit, was Paul and Martha Davis with ABWE.
I remember that.
Yeah, and they talked about marriage and keeping it together in the midst of a long life of ministry. Paul, can you tell us a little bit about your history of ministry and then what your position here is at ABWE?
Yeah, and a funny story about that session. I was talking with Jason Schuler just the other day, who did a session, who was getting ready to do a session or just did a session. And you sent him my session as kind of like, well, here's a template to do your session with. And so I felt pretty good about that. I walked around with a smile on my face all day.
Yours was the only
session was kind of a template.
It was the only session we could put out there that we are proud of. All of the other ones. That's right. I know some of you are listening. I'm sorry. Paul's was the best. Martha's was the best. But go ahead and tell us a little bit about your connection or your ministry experience, your connection to ABWE, and then how you became part of the network.
Josh, you know this. We were in pastoral ministry for 30 years. In a variety of different roles, youth pastor, associate pastor. We were a pastor that ran a Christian school, senior pastor. And for the last 21 years, we were in one ministry in West Michigan. And the Lord really blessed that. We had a wonderful time. The entire time we were in pastoral ministry, though, we were engaged in missions in a variety of ways, from short-term trips to sending missionaries to supporting missionaries, raising up missionaries within our church, and we began getting more and more involved with this organization, ABWE. A couple things really attracted us. One, the quality and the depth of leadership and the missions team that we were engaged with, the missionaries we were supporting personally, but also the opportunities for our church to engage around the world. And we began engaging. I personally had opportunities to engage around the world, and I would meet these missions teams, and they changed our lives. And we thought we were going to minister to missions teams, and we would be so ministered to that it drew us in further and further. We eventually came on the board, like you have come on the board. And when there was a leadership transition, the Lord directed that we would become the new head of ABWE. So we've been in that role for about 3.5 years now.
Yeah, and we love it. I love my connection so far with ABWE, and I've enjoyed it. When did you become familiar with the network itself, Idea Network, and what connected us in that way?
Well, one of the divisions of ABWE is Every Ethne, which is run by Doug Martin and his team, and that team is a North American church planting team. Their goal and their really design is to help North American churches to plant more North American churches, to fund, along with Idea Day Network, like you're helping to fund through various ways, church planters. Our team is doing that. Every Ethne is doing that. So really it was Doug that connected me with the Idea Day Network. And really he walked into my office and he said, I found a group of guys that I think you would fall in love with. And I said, really, who are they? And he said, man, you've got to meet this Josh Tice guy, and you've got to meet, you know, Josh Immler and a bunch of other guys he would mention. And he said, you need to meet these guys. They're thinking outside of the box, but they really want to stick close to the authority of Scripture, the Lordship of Jesus Christ, doing things in biblically consistent ways, but then think outside the box.
Yeah, yeah. And that's been our thing. And that's when I came out first to a meeting in Pennsylvania. It was one of the things that just struck me immediately. I'm looking at this place and I'm like, this is ABWE is the Idea Network. Idea Network is ABWE. And it's amazing that God was doing what God was doing over the last few years at ABWE and Idea Network. And it's just a beautiful marriage in a lot of ways. And so we're thankful for the official partnership and all that happens with ABWE. But I will say this, for those who are not familiar with Paul, let me just describe Paul a little bit. Paul is going to be preaching at my church, Southern Hills, in Las Vegas in June, the first Sunday of June. I told my executive pastor this week, I said, make sure every executive and every high-level leader is in our church on that Sunday, and here's why. Because Paul speaks to the executive. Paul is an administrator, an organizer, a mind for leaders. That is who he speaks to. So you need to understand, as you're listening, who exactly is this guy? He is the, I forget the exact title, but the leader of ABWE, and the more I spend time with him, the more I get to know his mind, I am so inspired and impressed by the organizational leadership mind of this man and the high-level capacity leaders that he leads around the world. He's very humble. In fact, I can see him right now. He's like not liking all of this. But I want our audience to understand who he is and why he speaks to an international audience the way he does and why that is important. And again, I do know you, Paul, well enough to know you don't like that. But they need to know, who is this guy and what exactly does he do?
Well, I will agree with you on this point. I work with some incredible leaders, and one of the gifts of leadership that I believe God has given me is the ability to feel strongest in a room where I'm the weakest, right? Where the Lord has his ability to show in my weakness his strength. But when you can assemble a group of leaders that are so strong in their thinking, in their gift sets, in their experience. And the Lord has really blessed ABWE with a great senior leadership team, an executive leadership team, which really guides our missionary global teams. And so I will agree with you there. We have some incredible leaders there that I have the very distinct privilege serving alongside.
You know, Paul, we have a very personal connection to ABWE, and the fact that our first, I guess I would say, church members that are sent out as missionaries are the Snook family. And we went on, me personally got an opportunity to go on a survey trip to Togo, Africa with them probably about 3 years ago at this point, under the, you know, realm of an umbrella of ABWE. And, you know, we know you're doing great and awesome things across the world and helping the cause of Christ advance. One of the questions we have for you to kind of kick off the conversation here, you know, before we get into some of the other ones is, you know, what does ABWD believe? What are some of its core values? And can you share those with our audience?
Yeah, of course, we have a doctrinal statement, and someone can go on our website and look at our doctrinal statement. I think the thing that you want to get to, though, is really the core values, right? The things that we want to be known by. I talk about it as, this is what we want ABWE to smell like, right? The first of these values that we talk about a lot, Drew, is that Jesus gets first place in everything that we do. And I know that sounds a little bit throwaway. Like, of course Jesus gets first place in everything that we do. But guys, I've seen a lot of organizations, and 31 years in ministry, I'm telling you, it's easy to get Jesus out of whack in a ministry's organizational structure. And when you're building a small K kingdom as opposed to the capital K kingdom of the Lord, things go wrong. And so we don't want to go into all the world and tell people about ABWE. We don't want to go into all the world and tell people about ourselves. We want to go into all the world and preach Jesus Christ. We want to lift him up. We want to glorify him and magnify him in powerful ways. And so that is not a throwaway value. I want everyone who comes in contact with our organization to feel our commitment to Jesus Christ, who he is, and we want to follow him directly. So we talk about that a lot, giving Jesus Christ first place. The second value that we talk about is celebrating the gospel. And you've heard of this a lot, right? There's a lot of organizations that talk about being gospel-focused or gospel-centered, and I look for organizations to say that, right? Those are important phrases or catchphrases. But I've known a lot of people who are gospel-centered who've gotten over the gospel. And I don't ever want to forget that I was an alien and a stranger from God, and that I was redeemed and made whole and set free from the bondage of sin. And I've been given a new relationship with the Father through the Son, to the point that I am now a joint heir together with the Son of all the things that he will inherit. They will be mine as well. This is a glorious gospel truth. It's good news. And I don't want anyone to come and be a missionary and go to another land and do evangelism because it's their job. I want them to share Jesus Christ because the gospel is the celebrated center of their life. They've been redeemed and set free, and so they just have to, they have to say something. And so that's the type of gospel celebration we want to have foaming throughout the entire headquarters and out to the world. The third thing is this: we try to create what we call a biblical family atmosphere. We chose those words very carefully through biblical family and atmosphere. And the idea is not that you act like family and be too familiar and call each other brother and sister, so-and-so. The idea is actively putting the one another commands into action. In other words, I want to serve you. I'm going to love you. I want to build you up. I want to also exhort you and encourage you. But we also need to rebuke one another. We need to prefer one another above ourselves. All of these one another commands that the Lord Jesus gave us so that we could do life well together. And missions is different than any other job / role / career you can have. Missionaries live together. They travel together. I've gotten to know my senior leadership team way better than I've ever wanted to get to know anyone, right? Because we've spent so much time traveling together, right? And if we don't do the one another commands, these relationships fall apart and there's conflict. And so biblical family atmosphere is important. The fourth one is we cram two words together and we talk about humble confidence. Jesus modeled this for us when he both, within a few day period, turned the money tables over in the temple and modeled for us righteous indignation. You know, they turned his father's house into a den of thieves, and then they're changing money instead of worshiping the Lord. And Jesus turned over the money tables boldly, righteously. But then within 24 hours, he's kneeling at his disciples' feet, washing their feet, and serving them. And that boldness mixed with humility is what missionaries need to have in order to bring the gospel to a culture that's not our own. We can't go in like a bull in a china shop. We've got to go in humbly, but we can't be afraid to proclaim the gospel either when it gets difficult. So we must be confident and bold. So that humble confidence goes together. And the last one is this: we believe in holding our lives and our possessions loosely. In other words, everything that ABWE's ever been, anything that we have, it's been given to us. And so freely we've been given, freely we will give. And we see our organization as open hands where water flows through our fingers. The blessings that God blesses us with flows through us to others. And those five values, Josh, I think of what you're talking about, these are the things that we're committed that ABWE smells and looks like.
I absolutely love it. And this, I've heard you share those multiple times. And each time I've thought, I have got to have Paul share that with our network. It's so true to who you are as the leader of that organization, but more so, every leader in that organization that I've had personal contact with reflects those values. And it's such a welcoming place it has been for me. And it's been, from what I understand, to the missionaries that we've connected with through ABWE, which really leads to the third question that we have for you. And that is, what are the benefits of a board like ABWE? The reason I ask this question is there's a college student somewhere right now, and they are called of God to Africa. They are called of God to Asia. And now they're in the midst of saying, okay, where do I go for a mission board? Right now, there's a pastor or a deacon somewhere in Texas, and they're thinking, man, I think God's calling me to missions. What kind of mission board should I go with? And what mission boards are out there? And they're beginning to research those with their pastor. And ABWE just shines so brightly among all the amazing mission boards. But I am interested to know what are the benefits of a mission board like ABWE, or the benefits of a mission board in any way? Like, why should a missionary have a mission board, specifically then ABWE?
That's a great question. And let me just say, you know, when the Lord created the earth, he created an amazing diversity of animals, right? I mean, there's so many different types of reptiles, birds, snakes, all kinds of different animals and mammals. And I think that's the way it needs to be in missions, okay? So I don't think God sends missionaries one way. And so let me just say that, because I'm going to share some things that I think are helpful, but I wouldn't want your listeners to think I'm against, you know, a certain way, or I'm against. I believe that there's a diversity of gifts. I think there's a diversity of creation, and I think there's a diversity of how missions gets done. But I will say this: when people can work on a team and be a part of a team, there's a both a specialization and a utility of gifts that happens in a different way than just being alone and on your own. And being a part of a board gives you a sense of team. And let me dispel this myth first and foremost. Being with a board, even a board like ABWE, does not solve every missionary's problems. Okay, it's not a panacea. It's not, you know, you don't come with a board and, like, you know, it's just all puppies and butterflies, right? But what it does do is it does give you a support network. There's a team, and in ABWE's case, a large team holding the ropes while missionaries climb down the cliffs into the lostness of the world, right? And we can help missionaries do more and accomplish more with a bigger team serving them. And one of the questions I get asked a lot is, you know, why do you need a team? And my pat answer is this, and I don't mean to be glib, but it rings true when you hear this. My answer is this: you don't need a mission board if everything goes well. When you need a mission board is when things get tough, and when there's situations and problems. We recently had one of our missionaries who came down with COVID, and so many of our missionaries have had COVID, and many of them recovered well. We had one family that that really struggled, and we were going to have to medevac one of our missionaries to the United States for very special treatment. It was going to cost literally over $100,000 for that process. We were ready to go. That was set up. The Lord blessed, and this missionary is healed and recovered in country. But we had the resources to be able to be ready and prepared. We had a medical team. We had doctors who were prepared to travel with that person. We chartered a special plane in order to do that. And I can tell you that family appreciated that. Even though at the last minute we didn't need to do that, we had it ready to go. And unfortunately, just even in my 3 years of serving as the president of a mission agency, I've seen incredibly difficult circumstances, and both medical circumstances and personal circumstances and crises that needed to be action needed to be taken right away. And when you have a team around you that can coalesce around you, and we can bring people into your country and or gather people around you and provide you with expert, not just care, but professional care. We had real medical doctors ready to go. We had pilots on standby. And to me, now I have 4 kids and a wife, and Josh, if I was serving overseas with my family, I would want to know that there was a team behind me that could care for me, even if a crazy situation like a pandemic took place. And to have a team that has the resources, and this is what I think is critical, has the resources to come in strong when the time comes. And again, we didn't need to come in strong at because that missionary healed, but we were ready to go. And that's some of the basic reasons. There's other reasons as well. Having a stable keel, I think, is helpful. When you're a part of an organization, just like when you're a part of a church, Josh, you know, having led in pastoral ministry, when you're a part of a local body of believers, right, versus when you're off by yourself, you can be a believer all by yourself in a town or a city. But when you join with a body of believers and you get involved in a local church and you have pastors to support you and deacons to serve you and ministry teams to join and be a part of, when you can be a part of that local church, you grow, right? That's helpful.
That synergy is invaluable.
Right. And I believe that being a part of a team, and you know, we talk about a mission board, but it's really being a part of a team, a global team, is very similar to how a believer gets nourishment and strength and benefit from being in a local body of believers.
Yeah, I can absolutely see that being the case. You know, maybe there's a missionary out there listening right now, and they're wondering, okay, what are these benefits? And I think the benefits that you mentioned are incredible. I also think of things whenever I think of my own missionary, my friend Brandon, who worked with our deacon team for 10 years, and his beautiful wife, Kate, and his wonderful children, and they're going to Togo of Africa, of all places. And we think to ourselves, well, who's going to be there for him? The answer is we are, the church, but there's certain things we just can't do. I don't know how to help him with the passports, and I don't know how to help him with the visas, and I don't know how to promote, get ready with all his insurance, and who's looking out for his retirement, and who's looking out for his children if something bad were to take place, not just him, but what happens whenever Togo falls apart, the government falls apart. And I think to myself, what am I going to do? Send Fred over there? And Fred's going to talk to the leaders of Togo, West Africa? How do I know an ambassador? And a storied institution like ABWE has those resources. And one of the things I wanted to point out is the resources and the connections that a place like ABWE has because of the storied long heritage. Many may not be aware of how deep the heritage and roots of ABWE goes. When was ABWE founded, and how does it have these resources and the length of being around, these connections they have with political leaders around the world? How many years, Paul?
Yeah, so ABWE began in 1927, and our first president was a medical doctor, and so We were involved in medical missions from the very beginning, and we began in the Philippines. And one of the beautiful thing about, again, we talk about holding our lives and possessions loosely, is we started four hospitals in the Philippines. And those hospitals were gospel-proclaiming hospitals, hospitals that are allowing church planting to happen, and they're using medical works as a platform for ministry. Josh, every one of those four hospitals are completely run, managed, and staffed by Filipinos today. All of the gospel work that's continuing to go on is being done by Filipinos today. And that's the goal. That's the beauty. So we've not only started ministries and hospitals, but we've released them, and they're still going. And so the places that we still have hospitals, places like Bangladesh, places like Togo, West Africa, clinics in the Ukraine and other places around the world, and in the Amazonas, and we've seen that those opportunities, those platforms for ministry, can do tremendous good and open a lot of doors. And we've been doing that, again, since 1927, for 94 years.
You know, it's so funny you mentioned that. You know, I can speak to that firsthand, seeing when I was in Togo. One of the biggest things I was impressed with was the ministries weren't all just about the missionaries there. And the clinic, the churches, it was so much about empowering the locals to do the work of the ministry. And I was like, and you can tell it's generational at that point, because you guys have been there a long time. And that's just such an awesome effort. That's not all about holding this Westerner that came over to try to become their savior, so to speak. It's about trying to get them to really live out the gospel and ultimately the church as an example.
And Drew, you spotted something there that's key to our mission as an organization. Our mission is to multiply leaders, churches, and missions movements. And so our goal is not just to win people to Christ, and our goal is more than to disciple them, more than to plant churches, but to gather churches together and to create missions movements. So in other words, I just spoke with Eddie Rios, who's the president of PABWE, which is the Filipino Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. And he's my counterpart in the Filipino board of missionaries that was started through Filipinos that were won to Christ through ABWE missionaries. And it's beautiful. You spotted that, because that's our goal. Our end goal is not just to evangelize and disciple, but to evangelize and disciple, plant churches to the point where those churches can then go and send missionaries out across the world.
It's truly exciting about what's happened at ABWE, but it's really exciting about what's happening. And I'm looking to the future. Right now, we live in this coming out of COVID world, and I've never sensed such an excitement among ministry leaders about the next 10 years, the next 20 years, even the next 12 months, what holds, what's held in our future by the Lord. So I have this question. What excites you most about the international evangelism efforts around the world right now?
Yeah, there's a couple things that I'm excited about, Josh. One of the things is, I think COVID has caused a lot of people to rethink their career, right? Because work has changed and shifted, and we saw this year more missionaries mobilized. In other words, we had a larger candidate class of missionaries this year than we've had in a generation. And it stretched us, you know, because we've been doing this during COVID and trying to figure out how to do things online, right? But it's been exciting to see all of the men and women that God is bringing into missions and literally launching over the world. So we're excited about that. And I think God is doing a work. And I feel like sometimes I'm just holding on for dear life as God brings in and sends out new missionaries. So we're excited about that. We're excited about the medical platforms that God has raised up within ABWE. And I don't want to forget the doctors and the nurses and the staff that's working there. They're doing a great job. But what I'm excited about is the church planting and the discipleship that's taking place on those medical sites. And we're seeing an amazing growth in our Togo North Hospital in Mongo. There's some tremendous discipleship going on up there. And I'm super excited about what's happening with the church planting and the evangelism and discipleship in our medical platforms.
That's awesome. Now, last question for you, Paul. Thanks for your time today. How can someone learn more about ABWE and your vision for the world evangelism?
Yeah, the best way people can learn about us is to go to abwe.org. That's an easy way. You can follow us on Instagram. You can also follow us on Twitter. A lot of our information is on Facebook. So if you look up ABWE on Facebook, you'll find us on Facebook. You'll also find many of our missionaries there. So I would encourage people to check us out online, abwe.org. We've got a lot of resources that we make available for free to local churches. One of my key goals as, again, head of the organization was I was sitting, Josh, in your spot for, you know, 10 years, and I was leading a missions committee, and I was looking for resources and tools, and how can I do missions better in my church? How can I inspire people to go? How can I inspire people to give? How can I encourage people to be a part of what God is doing for the nations? And abwe.org at our blog has got all kinds of free resources for pastors, for missions committee members, for missions teams. And I'd encourage everybody to look those up.
It really is an amazing website. The blogs alone are fascinating, and the podcast. For those who don't know, ABWE has an incredible podcast. If you're a missionary, you're not listening to the ABWE podcast. It's called the Missions Podcast. It's amazing because they're dealing with very specified issues that are related to the missionary on the field and the pastoral missionary relationship. It's a really good podcast.
And their goal is to help thinkers go and goers think. And so it's an important podcast.
Well, Paul, we've really enjoyed having you on the podcast. I think a lot of even the values you shared with us are refreshing. I think I'll use that adjective, and we really appreciate your perspective on how you can be helped to some of these missionaries.
Well, I'm excited to be with you. And again, I appreciate the Idea Day Network. It's not only a blessing to so many, but Josh, we've talked about this before. We need to do a missions Idea Day Network gathering. We've got to help. There's so many people, as I'm talking with, and obviously because of my role, I'm talking to people about missions all the time. But I'm telling you, there's a need to gather men of God, pastors, church leaders together to talk about missions and how we can do this better for the Great Commission.
I'm excited about the possibility. Paul feels like he's calling me out on this, but I'm the one going to call him out. I think we're both as excited about the possibility of hosting something, which my team would not be okay if I announced anything that's not official, but look for a mission-themed event that's going to be coming out not too long from now, but we are excited about gathering as many missionaries as possible and pastors who are passionate about missions and asking, what does missions look like in the next few decades? And if you've never been out to Central Pennsylvania, well, really Eastern Pennsylvania, it's an opportunity for you to see a beautiful campus, but we'll talk more about that in the future. What now, hey, if you're a missionary out there, or maybe you're a pastor out there and you're like, oh yeah, I would love a mission-themed Idea Day. Hey, why don't you tweet at us, either myself or Paul, and say, do it. Do a mission-themed Idea Day. Or put it out on Facebook, something like that. Or put it on our Facebook group, Idea Network, and say, yeah, definitely a missions-themed. We'd love to know what kind of support there is for that idea. But it's something we're heavily leaning toward, aren't we, Paul?
I can't wait to do it. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, we are. Well, we close are. My team would be like, did you announce something? I'll say, good. Finally, Josh Ermler listened to an episode.
We have got this text before, don't worry.
Yeah, we have. But if Ermler listens to this episode, that'd be amazing.
The date should be on the website tomorrow, right?
That's right. It'll be on the website tomorrow. I would love that. Kylie would hang me, I think. That's how it would happen. Thanks again, Paul. Really appreciate what you're doing for international evangelism and your connection to the IDEA Network. We really are grateful.
Well, thank you, Josh. And I want to encourage everyone, and this is my challenge to our people that come and check out ABWE, Matthew 9:38. Let us all pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field.
Thanks so much for listening to today's IDEA Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.